I love to see people get melted down in Jesus. If you can always do what you do for God and it never affects you, then you need to really check up. If it don't ever get real to you and just make you just overflow, then what are you talking? Are you talking about something that you know and you feel? Amen. Take your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 1. I'm being honest with you. I don't even know how this is going to go. I hope by the Holy Spirit of God, we'll just go into it and it'll take over. And if not, then you can blame it on me. And I could take the blame for that. I don't know. I got a little bit of revelation today, and don't think I'm talking spiritual talk. Something just hit me about this. Go to Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and for the next few weeks, we're just going to try to dine on the Christmas story. We're going to be all over the place. And I gave some of y'all at the beginning, when we first got here, I gave y'all some verses. And if somebody would like to read those, we will. If not, I'll run over there real quick and find them when we run up on them. But look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And it should start out something like in the sixth month. Are y'all seeing that? In the sixth month. All right. So in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth. I want y'all to write this down, make a note if you're a note taker. God knows your address. God knows your GPS. Amen? You can't hide from God. One, you can't hide from Him when He's trying to save your soul. And the next thing, you can't hide from Him when He's calling you to do what He wants you to do. Amen? And if there's anybody in here heard what I just said on that, you should say thank God. Amen? Thank God that you can't run. Thank God you can't get away from it. Thank God that you can't hide. You can't get on a boat, you can't take a trip, can't get in a car, can't get on a plane, can't take another job, you can't get away from God. Amen. I love that. When I was reading this, though, I got to reading this, there's Mary over there in Nazareth. Probably, if you think about it, some people say anywhere from 14, 15, 16 years old. And that was very common for this time. She's a spouse to her future husband, Joseph, and she's just living her life. But I'll guarantee you there's something on the inside of her that she's saying, there's something God wants from my life. It's bigger than I can comprehend. It's more than I can handle. And I don't feel like I'm capable of doing it. I'm not qualified. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I don't know enough. Do y'all ever get to those places? I guarantee you, Mary was sitting there going, I know there's something big coming from God, but it feels like it's overwhelming. Man, I hope y'all get that. God never, and listen to this, God never puts something on your heart to do that you can't, that you don't know is coming, amen, that you don't have a clue about, that you don't know. Listen, I've been doing this long enough to know now that I knew I was supposed to preach the gospel at 8 years old. Now, some of y'all are going to do the math, say, well, you didn't do it till you're 30. It doesn't matter when you know to do it, it's when you do it, amen. And I didn't run from it. I didn't run from God's calling. I ran from God, period, amen. I didn't run from the calling to preach. I ran from all of it. But I want you to understand this, and I want you to know this. God doesn't care. He has got a perfect timing. He has got a perfect timing of your life. Some of y'all need to understand this. You ain't caught God off guard. God ain't up there going, well, if He don't do it this year, I can't use Him. If He don't do it this next year, I can't use her. Now, it will be different, but it's still there. Oh, never mind. Golly, I could run a whole line on that right there, but that's not what we're here to preach, all right? So verse 27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, Mary, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, and cast her in mind what manner of salutations this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Man, this is great stuff. We talk about it every year about this time. But all of a sudden, I'm sitting here reading this in my office, and I'm just like, all right, Lord, pour it on. If you want Christmas stuff, I'm going to do Christmas stuff this year. I'll preach anything you want me to preach. But then all of a sudden, he shows me something I never paid attention to, that if you'll jump back over in verse 5, look at verse 5 with me real quick, Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And I'm sitting there thinking, wait a minute. You mean God went and prepared John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ? He went to hurt his mom and dad before he went to Jesus' mom and dad. You think, just let this sink in. I know some of you are sitting here right here, you're way smarter than I am, and you've got it all figured out, but just hang with me for a minute. Have you ever rolled up on Christmas and maybe around probably about Thanksgiving? This is when it happens at my house. It happens about 2 days before Thanksgiving and doesn't stop until about the 21st of December. All right, here's what happened. Here's what starts to happen. Kevin, what do you want for Christmas? Does that start at your house? I don't know when it starts at your house, but that's when it starts at my house. So right around Thanksgiving, somebody will start nudging around and say, what do you want? Y'all good? And I got to thinking when I was looking at this message, the real Christmas story is, what do you need for Christmas? And I'm about to divulge a family secret that's amazing to me. And don't get me wrong when I say this, I have got some amazing gifts over my lifetime. And some of them are very good. Amen. But two gifts stand out the most in my whole Christmas experiences as an adult. And I'm only going to talk about one of them. My father-in-law has given me the two needed gifts that I've ever gotten as an adult person at Christmas time. Ain't that amazing? I've got plenty of things. I'll be talking about this probably at home later on. I have got some amazing gifts, awesome things that I really wanted. But my father-in-law, about 3 years ago, we went down there for Christmas, and you know, the kids, they get stuff, and the adults get stuff, and everybody, it's kind of like we get, as the adults, sometimes you get a consolation gift. All right, some of y'all got the same looks that I got. All right, good. You get whatever everybody else gets, right? Well, this year I opened up these gloves that look like they were made out of alpaca skin. Amen? They looked like the Michelin man's mitts, but they were black. And when I first opened them, I laughed. I did. I laughed. I said, these are hideous. They're ugly. Where did you get these at? Right? I put them right away. Three of the four of the men made eye contact. We all laughed. Literally, that year, probably 25 times, it had gotten into 20s and stayed there. I wore those gloves more than any other pair of gloves I've ever owned. And you know what? Every time I got them and put them on my hands, I said, man, these things right here are awesome. I would be outside for hours and be like, these are great. They looked hideous, but man, were they functional. And man, somebody asked me one time, they said, do you want to go ride four-wheelers? We're going to be out there all day long. And I'm like, yeah, I better. And the first thing I thought of, I wasn't thinking about anything else. I was like, where are those gloves at? And literally all day, I was just I'm like, yes, this was the greatest gift ever, right? Because I needed them, right? Didn't matter how they looked, didn't matter how they felt, I needed them. You know what? When I got to looking at this and I thought, man, God is so cool that he, you know what he did? He looked at the situation and he said, I'm going to get the forerunner ready first. I'm going to bring him online. That's 6 months prior. When it says 6 months, right there it says 6 months in verse 26, that's 6 months in the pregnancy of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Amen? Then all of a sudden God said to me, he said, you don't know anything. Amen? You don't know anything. Watch, let me show you something. Did I give somebody the verse Romans 6:23? Did somebody look it up and was going to read it out loud? Who said in their heart, I'm going to read that out loud? All right, praise God. I was like, man, y'all are going to let me down. Romans 6:23 says what? Now listen, I want y'all to hear this. The whole verse. And go. That's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Romans is what they call the constitution of Christianity. It's the constitution of New Testament Christianity. If you go to Romans and start reading, you find out what you have. It's almost like when you get hired on a job and all of a sudden you get hired and they give you benefits and everything, they give you a little packet. That's the packet for Christianity. For the wages of sin is death. Man, Sharon, I understand this more than any other thing in the whole Bible. You know why? Because I've been working since I was about 14, right? And I did not care about anything else under the sun. When I started working, I only wanted to know one day of the week. I only wanted to know one thing about that job. When was payday? Right? I washed dishes, I baled hay, I cut tobacco. Every time I'd say, when they said, will you be here tomorrow? I'd say, yeah, when are we getting paid? Right? That's the driver, right? For the wages of sin is death. So guess what? For sin, no matter what this world says, no matter what the country said, no matter what constitution, no matter what the Supreme Court, if that Bible calls it sin, if it's sin, the wages at the end, what you're going to have to pay for it is death. But the gift, listen, I love that. I love that more than anything else in the Bible too, because guess what? Salvation is never referred to as a reward. It's always a gift, a free gift. But the gift of God, amen, of God is salvation through Jesus Christ. So guess what? The gift, he knew we needed salvation. So guess what? He was in heaven. He goes, I don't think I know what they want. I know what they want. I know what they need for Christmas. Amen. I know what they need every year. I know what they need for their whole life. So then I looked at this, another one, John 3:16. Somebody read it. Somebody else read it. A little bit of ownership, John 3:16. Somebody said, you should be able to just say that one. Yes, for God gave, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So guess what he did? He loved us so much. I hear people all the time, all over time. Well, man, what has God done for us? What is God doing? He's already done it all. Amen. He gave his son all off the front end. He gave us salvation, right? So I got to thinking about this in my heart. And I'm thinking, man, God's really prepared. So somebody go to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah 7:14. Now this is about 1,000 years, 800 to 1,000 years prior to Mary even being born. Amen? Right? It's even Jesus being born or even Mary being on the face of the earth is Isaiah 7:14. Somebody read that for me real quick. Watch this. In Isaiah 7:14, God was preparing our Christmas gift even then. Amen? When you're sitting there thinking, I do this every year. I never do it. I think of it every year, but I never do it. December 26th, December 27th, you know what I always say to myself? I'm going to start buying gifts. I am. I'm going to do it. I'm going to start buying gifts all throughout the year. And you know what? That way, when December rolls around, I'm going to be done, right? I won't have to worry about it. You know when I do my shopping? one whole week prior to Christmas. And usually I try to avoid the 23rd and 24th, but it happens. I never buy. I see stuff all the time. I think, man, that would fit so-and-so. Man, that would be great for so-and-so. Do I ever get it? No, I do not. You know what I do? I take it right down to the end of the line. I'm like hustling. I'm out there with everybody else who's hustling, right? You know what? God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. He looked down through the annals of time, and right in the middle, right when he had the opportunity to start 1 Kings, 2 Kings, when he was in the Chronicles, he was thinking, you know what he was thinking about? He was thinking, one day they're going to need a gift, and guess what? They're Christmas, and they're going to get the Savior who is Jesus Christ. That's what they need. This is how it's going to happen. There's going to be a virgin. Guess what, man? We think over there in Luke, Mary just all of a sudden, it just started happening right then. God knew her, knew where she was, and not only in history, not only in time, not only in place, but that she was going to be willing and she was going to be a vessel that's going to be used, and God already knew it. Man, the reason I'm preaching it like this is some of us are sitting here going, man, it's 2021 and it just seems like God just not in this. God is in this time just as much as he was in that time. He's using us today just like he was using them in that time. Look, somebody read Isaiah 9 and 6 for me. Isaiah 9 and 6. Somebody different. Ooh. Not only does it tell you when the gift's going to be, who the gift's going to come through, but he tells you who the gift is. He starts it in chapter 7, and then in 9 he says, this is who he is, this is when he comes, this is he's going to be the Prince of Peace, the government is going to be upon his shoulders. When he walked the earth, all of heaven was on earth. I hope y'all get this, I hope this just resonates in your heart. God bankrupted heaven for you. And he didn't just plan on it. Over here in the New Testament, he didn't just do it in Luke. He didn't just do it right there near the time for the cross. He did it in the very, he reminded himself over and over again throughout the scriptures, I am giving my son for their sins. I am going to send it. Have you ever thought, you just look at something, man, I want to get them the perfect. I want to get a gift that they can use, something that can bless. Man, I hope, man, God was looking at us the whole time saying, I don't care what they want. I know what they need. And he kept reminding himself all the way down through history and through time. And he was reminding himself that they're going to need a Savior one day. One day when they come to the most broken place in their life, the gift will remain. Whew. Golly, but I can't help myself right there. But the gift... I'm glad he calls it the gift, because every time I read in the Bible and every time I pay attention to what it says in the scripture, I found out one thing. The gift always shows up when it's most unexpected. The gift always shows up when you don't think I deserve a gift. Amen. Now, we're different, right? We've been conditioned since we were kids. If you're good this year, right? I don't know how many times I heard that. It never worked. I mean, me and my brother, we blew it every year. If you're good this year, you'll get. I'm like, well, what else would we get? What's plan B, right? If you're good, you're going to get to. Man, God says, when you find out that you're a wretched, lost sinner in need of a Savior, when you're as most guilty as you've ever been, when you're ready to confess that you're a sinner and you can't get into heaven no other way but through me, that's when the gift will show up. This whole Bible is chock full of people when they never expected it. I couldn't help it. Every time I think of it, listen, every single time I think about this Christmas gift, I think about the demonic man. Every single time. I can't help it. I want to skip over it. I want to go past it. But I think to myself every time, who deserved a Christmas gift the least? Tim. It's the demonic man. Demoniac, he's got a legion of devils in him. He's broke out of prison. He hangs out in graveyards. He does self-harm. He cuts himself. He's miserable. He is the worst of the worst. Everybody in that town says the same thing. Thank God we're not that guy. Thank God. I'm glad you ain't so-and-so. He was the same as any other little boy. any other little girl. He was raised, his mom and I bet they had aspirations and dreams and hope for him. I bet they thought, man, this boy is going to be something special. But you know what? He ended up being the thing that everybody, the son that everybody talked about. His mama still loved him. His daddy still loved him. More than any of that, God still loved him. Golly, I hope I'm preaching to somebody tonight. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. God loves people that are the most broken. When everybody else has given up, when everybody else calls it quits, when everybody says, I won't claim it, I won't say about it, I won't talk about that person in certain rooms because I don't want people to look down on our family. Praise God. Listen, one day, I love preaching about this guy. One day, Jesus left 5,000, not counting women and children. He looked at him and said, we must go over to the other side. He wasn't just saying we need to go over to the side because there's a lesson to be learned on the lake between here and there. There is a soul over there. If when I show up, it's going to accept who I am. The gift is going to push up on the shores of the Gadarenes, and there is going to be a man over there that's going to scare you to death, but I'm giving him the gift. Aren't you glad? Man, when you read that story, every time I read that story and I show up at a regular church, I look at the church and go, there ain't nobody in here in that bad of shape. If you got problems, if you got issues, you got brokenness, praise God, you still all right because every one of you are dressed. Amen? Every one of you got your clothes on. Praise God. You ain't naked. You ain't cutting yourself. I can't wait. I want to sit down with Peter, James, John, all of them. I want to say, tell me about the day when that boat cruised up on that shoreline. I want to hear all about it. Amen? I guarantee when that guy come running down that hill, every one of them guys who had just begged Jesus to get out of that sea was like, let's go back into the sea. This is crazy. Amen? But guess what? The gift rolled up on that day. Let's go Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, I think it was. Yes, somebody read Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. 3 chapters in, 15 verses down. Yes. That's Genesis chapter 3. Some of y'all go, man, what does that mean? That right there. Is that it? Yeah, he read it. And I will put enmity between thee and thy seed. Yeah, you read it right. Great. Good job, Scott. What's that got to do with? That is the first mention of Christmas in the Bible. That's the first mention that Jesus is going to take care of the problem. I am going to send a son. Man, ain't that something? Oh, my goodness. Right. When did he start thinking about giving his son? When did he start saying, all right, here's a plan? No, he probably thought of it in the beginning, but I'm just saying, here he is. When does he implement it? When did he speak it? And somebody wrote it in the scriptures. He says it in Genesis 3:15, right after man messed it all up. Right after they fell short, right after Adam and Eve standing at the place where they told them not to stand, talking to the person they told them not to talk to, eating the thing they weren't supposed to eat, and guess what? God says as soon as the punishments come down, guess what else comes down? The answer. Yep, there's punishments. There is absolute punishment for sin. But right behind that is the answer. It'll bruise your head, but you'll crush it with his heel. You'll take your heel and you'll crush him. What he was saying is, on Calvary, they will bruise you. But by what you do at Calvary, you will crush that serpent. You will crush death at Calvary. Amen? That's Genesis chapter 3. God, you know what he was saying right there? God was saying right there, you know what? I don't care what they want. I don't care what they want for Christmas. But I know what they need. From the very beginning, they needed a Savior. You needed a Savior. That's all you've ever needed. Jesus, I want to say this. I want to preach it this way. Jesus can be multiple things for you. Amen? He can. He is. He's a great financial person. He's a great doctor. Amen? He's a great counselor. Amen? He's a great leader. Amen? He can do multiple things in your life. If you allow him, if you take this scripture, be led by the Holy Spirit, there ain't nothing God can't do in your life. The operation of God in your life will be amazing. But you didn't need all those things. Those things are add-ons. What you needed was a Savior. Man, ain't that sweet. I thought God was kind of being ahead of the game over in Luke chapter 1 when he went to the forerunner's parents and got that locked down before he went to marrying them. But then I started thinking, wait a minute, that's not what he did. He started this way off back in the other, all the way back in Genesis. I'm kind of trying to lay something in for you right here. Jesus, God and Holy Spirit, was looking down from Genesis chapter 3 saying, there's going to be a little girl named Mary who, when we give her the call, it's going to be overwhelming. She's not going to feel like she's strong enough, smart enough, or good enough. And who is she to do it? But she's going to. And through her is going to come the Savior. The Savior that she needs and then the whole world needs. That's the gift of God. That's the true Christmas story. Amen? And that's good. I like that. I love that. I love looking at Mary. Oh, man, God knew all the way. He knew her. He knew. But not only did he know her, he knew you. He knew you were going to need a Savior. And he knew in your life he was going to come to you in multiple ways and present himself a Savior to you. And then one day the Holy Spirit is going to overwhelm you and draw you unto Christ. And when he does that, that's the day of salvation for you. Amen? I had people witness to me. I had people share the gospel with me. I had people preach to me. I had people do a lot. I had pray for me and all that stuff. There was one day when the Holy Ghost of God said, it's me. Genesis chapter 3, when the fall of man happened, God looked down through the annals of time and he seen you. And he said, I'm dying that they might have a Savior. Because for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. God started wrapping, he started wrapping your gift and preparing your gift all the way back in Genesis. Now, we picked out about 5 scriptures, but the Bible says it this way, says it best this way. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. This whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is about one man, Jesus Christ, who became sin, who knew no sin, became the gift that you needed, wrapped himself in flesh, and just like on Christmas morning, was torn to pieces and opened up and poured out that any person that whosoever will, that will call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. That's the Christmas story. That's what you took part of tonight. And we're going to build on that throughout this month, I hope. I hope that's a good start for you guys. It's a good start for me. Let's all stand.